So the third speaker is Matt Kuzner from the Alan Turing Institute. He's going to talk about supervised word movers distance. Welcome.
Thanks a lot. Greetings, everyone. As it said, my name is Matt. I'm at the Alan Turing Institute. This is joint work with Gao, Huang, Chuan Guo, Yu Sun, and Killian at Cornell University and Fei Sha at USC. So let's start this talk with a question, and this is going to be rhetorical, so please don't respond. But the question is, are these two texts similar? The first says, I just cooked this awesome recipe. It is my favorite dish. The food is so yummy. The second says, my favorite politician gave an awesome speech about an important topic. Well, so in one sense, these two are similar. They both express a positive sentiment. But in another sense, if we look at these words, if these are the important words, they're about very different things. The first being about food, the second being about politics. Let me ask a very similar question. Which of these three books is most similar? The first, Harry Potter, the second, Wizard of Oz, and the third, The Cuckoo's Calling. Well, if similarity means that books that are in the same genre should be close, then the first two should be closer because they're both fantasy books, while the third is an adult detective book. But if instead we're interested in authorship, then it turns out the first and the third author are written books are written by the same author, and the second is written by a different one. So really, the first and the third should be close. The way we usually start to compare two text documents is by first constructing a document vector for each document. With this representation in hand, what we can do is just apply a standard distance metric for this, such as the Euclidean distance. Now, if we were to do this for a bunch of different document vector representations, this is what we would get if we were to use them for k-nearest neighbor classification. And what I'm showing you on the y-axis is how well each performs with respect to the bag of words vector, where we just have a count of all of the words in each of the documents. And I'm including some sort of classic different document distances, like LDA and LSI, as well as some new ones like MSDA. Now, these are completely unsupervised. What happens if now we have some access to how we'd like similarity to be encoded via label information, such as the first is by one author and the second is by a different? Well, then we can apply metric learning. And what that will mean in the linear metric learning case is learning a metric matrix A to transform our document vector space such that close documents, documents with the same label, are closely pushed together in this new space. We can again compute the Euclidean distance in this new space, and let's see what happens when we do. So I'm going to show you one example metric learning algorithm. It's called information theoretic metric learning. And what will happen is the errors will change. In general, they'll reduce. What happens if we apply another metric learning technique, large margin nearest neighbors? Well, again, we'll get some sort of reduction. And while we're at it, let's apply neighborhood component analysis, which is the third metric learning technique, and we'll get this. Now, if for each of these vector representations, I show the best error that we got for all of these metric learning techniques, this is what we get. And what we see is that we've now been able to reduce the error over bag of words by 40%. So now I'm going to do a magic trick. What if I told you that there's another document metric that nearly matches the state of the art, and it's completely unsupervised, while these are supervised given the label information? Well, it's not really a magic trick. It's actually a document metric called the word movers distance, and it was introduced by our group in ICML 2015. The question is how to supervise this metric. First, let's talk about what the word movers distance is. I'll explain. The word movers distance is built off word embeddings. Word embeddings are just vector representations of words, such that now each word is a q-dimensional vector. Importantly, this embedding is constructed so that similar words are close in embedding space, like Moon and Saturn. Now let's imagine I'm given a document about the color of your neighbor's house. On the left, I'm showing you the normalized bag of words representation. This is just the count, it's normalized. And in the center, I'm showing you the word vectors. The word mover's distance works on a new representation instead of a document vector that we call a bag of word vectors. And what this is simply a weighted set of word embeddings weighted by the normalized bag of word counts. Let's imagine I have another document also about color and house and neighbor, except this is written by a British author, whereas the first was written by an American author. So we're going to use slightly different words, such as neighbor and color are spelled slightly differently. But because we have this word embedding, those words will be close in the two documents with the American versions. We can again form the bag of word vectors for this document. Given these new representations, the WMD, the word mover's distance, also abbreviated the WMD, defines the distance between two documents as the minimum cost required to transport the first document to the second document. So what is this going to look like? Well, let's imagine what we're trying to do is we're filling the histogram, the normalized bag of word histogram bins of the second document with the first. What's the cheapest way to do that in word space? Well, this is the cheapest way to do that. We're basically going to try to push most of the mass to the closest word in the other document and push any remaining mass to any words that haven't been filled yet. The word mover's distance, or the WMD, is an optimal transport problem that can be expressed as a linear program in terms of a transport matrix T, where Tij is how much mass is being transported from word I to word J. And we're trying to minimize the overall transport across words in the first document versus words in the second document. So we're minimizing this Euclidean distance over word embeddings. Subject to two constraints. The first says we move all of the mass out of the first document and move it into the second document to fill the second document. Now, what happens if we go back to thinking about how we incorporate supervision into this kind of metric? Well, we can't just do what we did before. We can't just apply metric learning to a document vector because we don't have one. So what we'll do instead is we'll incorporate supervision in two ways. The first thing we're going to do is introduce a metric matrix A in word space as opposed to document space. Let's look at the example that we had for before, where we had neighbor and neighbor written in American and British, similar, and color also similar. But what if we'd like to distinguish between documents written by an American author and documents written by a British author? Well, then we'd like to learn a matrix, metric A, to adjust this word space so that British words are close and American words are close. And that's exactly what this matrix will do. The second way we'll introduce supervision is we'll add a word importance weighting vector, W, that will be element-wise multiplied by our normalized bag of words histograms. And we'll normalize the whole thing. So intuitively, what this will do is we'll upweight words that are important for distinguishing between documents in different classes, such as neighbor and color. And we'll call this the supervised word mover's distance, or the SWMD. Now, one thing we could do to learn A and W is just plug in the SWMD into one of these metric learning objectives. I've chosen NCA, which was the last one I showed you, in place of the Euclidean distance between these document vectors, which we don't have anymore. So if we do this naively, we run into two problems. The first is that just computing this optimal transport, that is the SWMD, is cubic in the dimensionality of the document. So this is quite slow in and of itself. The second problem is, what happens if we try to compute the gradient of this loss with respect to A and W to do gradient descent? These are the parameters we want to solve for. And it turns out these parameters only occur in the SWMD, so we'll end up just needing to compute the gradient of the SWMD with respect to A and W. Well, it turns out that we have to solve the SWMD every gradient step, because this gradient is only valid at the optimum, at the optimal transport t. And so that means each gradient step, we're doing something that's cubic in the dimensionality of the documents. And I haven't showed you this, but each gradient itself is quadratic in the number of documents. So this is insane. This should make you shudder. So we're not going to do this. Instead of this insane thing, what we're going to do is we're going to rework the supervised word movers distance optimal transport problem and enable a speed-up trick. So what I'm showing you now are these nested optimization problems. And the speed-up trick consists of two parts. The first is we're going to add a negative entropy term. So this is just the negative entropy of the optimal transport problem, T. So it doesn't seem like this is any better, but what's crucial about this sort of relaxation is that it makes this problem convex in T. And it's shown further that this problem, as we reduce lambda, we can cause this optimization to approach the original optimization problem. So it's a very generic relaxation. But once we have this convex optimization problem, what we can do is we can form the dual. And the dual now, instead of solving for this optimal transport t, we solve for these optimal dual variables, alpha and beta, at the current A and W. What's cool about this is we can apply a very nice optimization trick introduced by Couturier and Doucet in ICML 2014, and we can solve this SWMD, this relaxed dual SWMD, in quadratic time of the dimensionality of the documents. And this is dramatically faster than what we had before, because we're doing it every gradient step. So this will allow us to have a practical algorithm and enable us to solve for A and W and supervise the word movers distance. And this is what the algorithm will look like. We'll start with an initial A and W, and then we'll repeatedly solve until some measure of convergence the following steps. We'll first solve for the dual variables, alpha and beta, of the dual SWMD at the current A and W. With this, the dual variables, we can compute the gradient with respect to A and W at the dual variables, and then we can update A and W just using standard gradient descent. So how will this turn out? How will this work when compared with other methods, this supervised word movers distance? Well, it turns out we can get state-of-the-art accuracy across 25 different benchmarks. What I'm showing you is all of these document representations and their best metric learning techniques. So really, we're improving upon 25 different baselines. And more specifically, we're improving the error over the WMD on 7 out of the 8 data sets that we're averaging over. We're on average dropping the error of WMD by over 10%. And on certain data set, we're dropping the error by half. So we can also, another interesting thing to look at is what sort of word weights or word importance do we learn? For example, on the left, OSIMED is a cardiovascular disease data set. And the important words are words like pulmonary and lung, these sort of bodily words that would help distinguish different types of cardiovascular diseases. In the middle, and Reuters, words like oil and trade, which may distinguish documents about economics from those about, say, sports, are upweighted, and similarly for 20 News. So to wrap up, I wanted to start the talk by saying that similarity is inherently ambiguous. If we have access to labeled information that encodes our similarity, we can learn a metric that we call the supervised word movers distance. And we learn this metric in two ways. First, by introducing a linear metric in word embedding space, A, and second, by introducing word weights, W, to reweight the important words. On average, this method performed best out of 25 different benchmark methods. And we were able to make it practical via this dual optimization trick we introduced so that each SWD is now quadratic instead of cubic. I'd like to thank my co-authors from this work, Gao, Chuan, Yu, Killian, and Fei. And I'd like to thank you for listening. If you have any questions, I'll take them now. Thank you.
We have time for a few questions from the audience.
First question I says, sorry, over there on your right.
Okay.
Thank you for the talk, that's very interesting. Maybe I missed something, but you say that when you had your interpreted term, you said you render the problem convex, but it was already convex. It was quadratic in T, wasn't it?
Right.
Oh, linear with a quadratic term.
That's right. Sorry, what I meant to say is it's strongly convex now, is what I meant to say.
Okay, so it remains convex, and
right.
Adding this entropy term is what enables you to do this dual trick from ICML 2014.
Exactly. Yeah, intuitively, what it's doing is it's sort of originally the transport matrix without this entropy term is very sparse, and it sort of smooths out this this entropy term because we're increasing the entropy, and that allows us to do this sort of dual optimization trick.
Okay. Thanks you again for the talk.
Yeah.
Hi, yeah, I'll try to articulate a question. Very fascinating work. So one area that I've been thinking about a lot is the idea of mapping a domain, the subjects in a domain, like a topics in a domain, into two-dimensional space so that it's very easy then to mouse over a two-dimensional space and maybe see pop-ups or tooltips or something, so that the user can intuitively mouse over in two-dimensional space to a topic. You know, that implies then that there's axes on two dimensions, right? So this word mover technique is very interesting to me because then it seems to provide a way to be able to map topics in two-dimensional space. So whether the domain is all of the subjects in Wikipedia or, you know, all of the topics in calculus or something like that. So I just wonder, it's a very open question, but I wonder your thought process on how you would tackle that.
Yeah, so, there are a lot of nice word embedding visualizations in 2D that have been developed online. And so I think one interesting thing to start with is to just take one of these word embeddings, like Word to Vec or Glove, and see sort of where these topics are distributed in two-dimensional space. You can either project them with PCA, or you could learn a two-dimensional representation from scratch. And if that doesn't work, then I would guess training a sort of new word embedding on sort of like all of sort of math documents you can get a hold of would give a very interesting sort of word semantic representation. Is that sort of, okay, great.
Hello. The question's here. I feel like a little disconnection because the word embedding is supposed to push the words with similar semantics and syntactic similarities together.
Right.
But the motivation example you give is try to put two books with the same author together. That's a little confusing. And another question I have is there are lots of text classification tasks using word embedding as features, During this supervised learning, if you allow the word embedding to dynamically change, means can dynamically change the parameters during the supervised learning. I was wondering if have you compared the work properly take the document similarity or ranking as a supervised learning, and in the middle just simply allow the word embedding numbers to adapt.
Right. So, well, to your first question, the reason why we're interested in sort of showing two types of the author similarity was just that maybe you'd want to encode similarity in different ways, and so you could, given this label information like authors, you can learn this through the supervised word moves distance. To the second, I have to be a little bit brief. We haven't gone through learning the word embeddings directly. That would involve a lot more parameters than just learning a matrix, but it's something worth trying. So thank you.
We can take very quickly question on the right there.
Hi. My question was, do you assume any structure on the A matrix that you showed out there? Or, I mean, can you have a neural network learn that mapping?
Yeah, you could. Right. Yeah, you definitely could. It's just a major. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's give another round of applause for the speaker.